Let's go to Washington now to talk to somebody who knows the US political system very, very well. He had a crack at running for Congress recently and hosts a nationally syndicated American radio and TV talk show. His name's Mark Levine, and welcome to the program, Mark.
Thank you for having me again.
Mark, now, do you have a favourite building in Washington, Mark? You've got lots of them.
Probably the United States Capitol. I know that's, I guess that's cliche, but it is a beautiful, beautiful building.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, yeah. I would like to see it before I die, Mark.
Well, you come and you can be my guest.
Oh, wow.
I'll show you around.
Have you got a big apartment we can stay in?
I do. I have a guest room and everything.
Oh.
My guest from Australia.
Excellent. Couldn't possibly, but if you insist.
Yes.
And in return, you have to give me a tour of downtown Adelaide.
We will.
You would be
What's
welcome.
What's the nicest building in Adelaide?
Well, that's what we're looking for this morning on our radio station, Adelaide's nicest building. We have some beautiful, beautiful buildings here.
Yeah. It's so many it's hard to pick them, Mark.
Yeah. But we never got a dome on our parliament.
We couldn't afford it.
No, we ran out of money, and about 100 years ago, and so we never. It was designed. It's got the columns at the front, the Greek columns. It looks very classical, but it's got a flat roof because we couldn't afford the dome.
No,
but your dome that was finished during the Second World during the Civil War, wasn't it?
During the Civil War, that's correct.
Right, there you go.
The Smithsonian Avenue, I don't think it's called the Smithsonian Avenue, but the avenue where you have all the Smithsonian buildings. It's just Washington is a fabulous town. Mm. Spend a month there.
Yeah, it's the mall. It's the sort of the center of the city. The great public park.
Yeah.
Between Constitution and Independence Avenues. The Capitol was finished actually not because we paid for it. We didn't have any money. We were fighting the Civil War at the time, but because the contractor didn't want. He had just gotten all this material stone for the Capitol, and he didn't want it all to rot out of his quarry, so he built it on his own dime, but we did pay him back later.
Oh, that's good.
That's the story.
That's nice. Now, people are trying to get into the U.S., perhaps because they want to see your beautiful buildings, perhaps for a better life, including children. But your political system is struggling with how to deal with this.
We really don't know what to do. There's tens of thousands of kids coming mostly from Honduras, Guatemala, and from El Salvador. We had a law a few years back that said that there would be sort of summary deportation for people from the countries that border us, Mexico and Canada. But if you come from another country and you can show you have a reasonable fear of death, that you can stay, which seems quite humanitarian and very, very nice, and I think it's the way America should work, but I don't think we expected tens of thousands of kids to come literally on tops of railway cars. I don't know if you've seen the pictures, because they can't afford a ticket. So they ride on top of the railway cars all the way through Mexico, and they're arriving at our borders, and many of them do face a fear of being forced into drug gangs and all kinds of awful things. So America's humanitarian impulse among some of us is being pressed against those that say, we can't let them in, then they'll all come in. So we're having quite a battle right now.
Well, it's a similar thing that's going on in this country. And the debate has basically got down to, do you want to have a lenient, open borders policy? But that will just encourage a lot more people to climb onto risky boats and people will die at sea. Or do you want to be tough and make it so difficult and make it more difficult so that people don't take those risks, which is the ultimately more humanitarian approach? So it's interesting that your country is going through a similar thing.
Well, you know, they wouldn't be taking that journey if what they were fleeing from were not absolutely horrible. I mean, a lot of these children are traveling without their parents. I'm sure the same is true probably on the ones that go on rickety boats to Australia. I mean, what they're fleeing from must be horrific because they literally are risking their lives. And the way I see it is America is a country built on immigrants. We, I think, are very successful because we have people from all over the world that form our diverse culture, and I think that's why we have such a strong economy, the strongest on earth. I welcome diversity. I welcome immigration. My great-grandparents were immigrants a little more than 100 years ago, and I think at the end of the day, they strengthen our country rather than weaken it, but there are many Americans that disagree with me.
Mark, looking at another intractable problem, but not on your home soil, we are all watching with, I suppose, horror and despair at what is going on between Israel and Hamas, with the deaths on both sides and the firing of rockets, and a situation that's not doesn't seem to be getting any closer to a resolution, despite an attempt at an Israeli ceasefire.
An Egyptian brokered ceasefire,
I should say.
It was an Egyptian brokered ceasefire that the Israelis accepted and Hamas did not. Israelis stopped firing for 6 hours while Hamas continued to send 50 rockets or so on top of all of the Israeli cities. Luckily for Israel, they have this Iron Dome missile defense system that they did with the United States' help, and that is largely protecting the Israeli population. But Israel tried to stop and have a ceasefire, and Egypt wanted it as well, but Hamas apparently is much more concerned about trying to kill Israelis than they do about their own people, and I guess that bespeaks the dictatorship terrorist group that runs Gaza. But, of course, Gazans are at a loss on both sides.
And where does the U.S. president sit on this? What?
I think the United States, Americans, I think, are very strongly supportive of Israel. They recognize that Israel did not want this war, that they're trying to get out of this war, that they want a ceasefire. But at the same time, I think we recognize that if our cities were under attack and there are hundreds of bombs raining on Washington, New York, Los Angeles, America, I think, would not be nearly as cautious as Israel has been. I think we'd bomb the hell out of them. And I think most Americans seem to understand that this is a war of self-defense for Israel.
But there also must be a large number of Americans who just wish that they didn't have to get involved.
They're so
weary of trying to solve the rest of the world's problems.
Well, and that's true everywhere. That's true with ISIS in Iraq and Syria. That's true all over the globe. We are the world's policemen, like it or not, and many Americans like it not. At the same time, there are those of us that say, well, if we weren't, then who would be? Would it be Vladimir Putin? Would it be, you know, someone else, China or so forth? So that's a constant fight among Americans. And interestingly, it doesn't fall under liberal conservative lines. You find liberals that are what might be called isolationists and liberal interventionists, and you find conservatives that are isolationists and interventionists. This is something that cuts across the political parties and when it comes to foreign policy. But, yeah, many Americans, I mean, obviously America's not directly involved. It's just giving money to Israel for its Iron Dome system. But I take it back. We are trying to broker a ceasefire, so we're involved in that way. But we're not involved in the sense of U.S. troops or anything like that.
Mark, thank you for talking to us from beautiful Washington.
My pleasure.
Mark Levine, it's spelled Levine, as in vine, pronounced Levine, as in green.